Hey, welcome to the podcast this week. It is episode 17. See you at the crossroads. Boom, boom, boom. So hopefully you have that song stuck in your head. I'm sorry if the audio quality in this whole podcast this week is a little shitty. I don't know what's going on, but hopefully I'll fix it by next week. It's my fault for playing so much God of War. I read five books this week, which is good. I'm going to be reviewing the last two books in the Midnight Texas trilogy by Charlene Harris, Day Shift and Night Shift. The fifth, Chronicles of St. Mary, No Time Like the Past, The Cutting Edge, which is the 14th Lincoln Rhyme novel by Jeffrey Deaver, and Arcanum Unbounded by Brandon Sanderson. All right, so let's get to it. So let's talk about Cutting Edge first. It's a pretty good mystery. Again, I love the Lincoln Rhyme stuff because a lot of it is, it gives you the perspective of the villain as well as the heroes. And a lot of times it'll do a time shift where it jumps forward. So all of a sudden, you know, it's going along and you're pretty sure what's happening. And then all of a sudden there's a jump ahead and they come back to it. In this one, it got really fucking convoluted. Like all of a sudden the paradigm shift was just completely the hell out there. I had no fucking idea what was going on. I mean, this thing jumped like so goddamn far ahead. And then when it was working its way back, it took so many twists and turns. It was kind of beyond, you know, logic or whatever. But I mean, it still worked and it was still kind of interesting. And it was taking some perspective on, I mean, it was very fascinating. Obviously, Deaver did a lot of research into the diamond industry for this one. But holy shit. I mean, this is like if Murder on the Orient Express, the mystery was the fact that there never was a fucking train and the Orient Express was secretly like a fucking dish at a restaurant and someone died eating it. I mean, that's like, that's the closest I can come with a metaphor to how fucking crazy this one was this week. But it's still good. I mean, Deaver's Deaver. It's still good stuff. So I love the Lincoln Rhyme series. So, you know, be prepared for a bit of a what the fuckerous with the twists and turns in it, but still a solid book. Let me jump ahead to the No Time Like the Past, St. Mary's Chronicles. Again, series progressing, really charming, just doing its own thing. I really never have any idea what's going to happen, even though the same fucking thing happens every time. Like, I don't know where they're progressing the novel. It's just sort of episodic. It's an episodic novel. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like a television series where you got the villain of the week bottle kind of episodes. But this one, no, this is series long. I mean, it's the same villains and everything. But same thing generally happens every week. And then there's a slight shift to the overall story. Same thing generally happened in this one, too. So it's progressing along nicely, like I said, compared to the Thursday Next series. Just charming and British and all sorts of tea drinking and still kind of brutish and nasty, too, at times. So, I mean, you know, I recommend it. If you're a fan of the Jasper Ford stuff, or if you're a big fan of, oh, I don't know, like, it's a strong science kind of novel, too, so it's fun like that. But I know, you know, it's not science so much as history, so, I mean, I could see, like, historians. I've got a friend who's a history teacher. I'm sure she would dig the shit out of this, so that's the kind of thing you're looking for. I would dig into this series. All right. Let me jump over to Arcanum Unbounded, by Brandon Sanderson. So what this was is, this was the first time where Sanderson pretty much stepped in and said, all right, all the shit I'm doing is the Cosmere. And so this was kind of a collection of all the novellas and things like that that he's done between his other series. So it was kind of a cheat for me. And then I read a bunch of these already. So I skipped over some of them as I was reading through it. Because, I mean, I've already read, you know, Shadows for Silence in the Forest of Hell, which is an excellent story, and Mistborn Secret History and all that stuff. 11th Metal. It actually included the first issue of the graphic novel for White Sand. So I didn't read that because I have the graphic novels for White Sand. Now with the Cannonball Read, they decided that it's totally cool to do a graphic novel as a novel. I don't know. I mean, I'm always of two thoughts on this, because if that was the case, I could always add so many fucking more books to my read. But I read the two volumes of White Sand this week too, but I'm not counting that towards my total. That's sort of my own prerogative, so it is what it is. But the Arcanum Unbounded, every story has an opener, which is this scholar who's studying all of the different Cosmere realms, so it works out pretty good. In the same regard, you've got the postscript where Sanderson's talking about his different like what he got his inspiration for the story or how they came about or what happened. So I mean, it's really interesting in that regard. But again, as I said with the whole Cosmere stuff, it just feels like he's taking such a big breath, and there's no indication yet at all in any of the stories that these are all going to start to meld together. But yeah, no, it's a really solid. I mean, again, if you're reading the Cosmere, if you're reading the Brandon Sanderson stuff, you might as well read all his shit. I mean, I started with Mistborn. I didn't start with Elantris, so maybe that's why I dig it so much. But again, he's really good at world building. He's got these really fascinating ideas on the different kinds of magic in each of the realms. And so the Arcanum Unbounded gives a kind of a taste sampler, but you can't really read it until after you've read a bunch of the other shit. Like, you read this right before his most recent book. It's kind of Avengers style, where it's like, this is the Avengers movie before he starts on whatever phase two of the Cosmere. So, again, if you're going to read this stuff, I'd jump on it. There's such a good story in there. A lot of these really specialized, fun characters. Like, Shadows for Silence in the Forest of Hell takes on a whole aspect of this world that we've never even touched upon yet. Same thing with Edge Dancer, which is a novella in between Words of Radiance and then Oathbringer, which I'm reading now. So it's going to be pretty good. Again, I'm getting a little Brandon Sanderson out, but I mean, it's not to say that it's bad. It's just, you know, if you love cake and you just eat cake and cake and cake, you're going to get fucking sick. So I'm going to, I'm finishing Oathbringer, and then I'll be done with Sanderson for a while, which is good, because then when his new books come out, I can look forward to that and read them instead of just shotgunning everything. We then move on, speaking of shotgunning everything, we move on to the Day Shift and Night Shift for Charlaine Harris. Overall, I felt like this series was a bit of a, it was like she still kind of wanted to be in Sookie Stackhouse's world, but she'd already sold all the rights over to HBO for True Blood. And so, you know, they never really know what to do with it. So, I mean, it's sort of adjacent to it, and it ties in with characters from the novels. They step in here, and they have different aspects to themselves in this, so it's kind of neat. Again, the names of the characters are just so fucking terrible. Oh, I cannot express that enough. Like, it's like she put these names together on a bet, and she lost it. And it's just, I don't know, like, she wanted to see maybe if she can name characters as fucking awfully and ridiculously as she possibly could. I mean, Jesus, what, Pubert is the name of the son in Adam's Family Values, and that makes more fucking sense and is a better name than anything she put in this one. Day Shift was pretty good as an overall novel in that it was about, it's the one where basically, the psychic is accused of killing one of his clients, and so you got that aspect to it, plus some of the other characters' mysteries step in here, so it's nice, it's building on that. The third one, though, Night Shift, holy God, though, that was just, the overall story behind it is interesting, and yet the ultimate climax is so fucking bad, and every pun intended for everyone who's ever read it. I just didn't like that. I'm like, all right, I get it. Like, it makes sense. Okay, this is something that would happen, but I just really wish it wouldn't happen. So it was just, I didn't really enjoy it at all. Like, all right. It kind of downplayed the rest of the novel, which was fun because it did such a good job of small towns and small towns with, you know, legitimate problems. But then she went more for the supernatural, whereas I was enjoying more the whole, like, weird people in a small town hiding themselves. You know, a lot of people with secrets. So again, the build and the general like concept of it was great. I just didn't like the final version of it. But still, Charlaine Harris is great. So, you know, if you like the Sookie Stackhouses, jump at those. I've never done the Aurora Tea Garden ones yet. I'm still not sure if I will or not. I have a friend who really liked them. So I'm still deciding on that. Okay, so that's what I read this week. Now, what is coming out that I'm excited about? So there's a lot. The first week in May has about four novels that I'm stoked about. First one being The Burning Maze by Rick Riordan. It's the new Trials of Apollo novel, which is funny because I've been thinking about Riordan a lot because of the God of War came out. I've been playing the hell out of that, and it's all Nordic this time. So it was cool after he did the Magnus Chase stuff, the way he twisted that in, same way with whole video game and Kratos and stuff. And talk about a compelling fucking story. Oh my God. But, yeah, Rick Riordan's doing, he only did three with the Magnus Chase, which is kind of disappointing. I guess he's only, the other gods, he's only doing trilogies, not, you know, and this one, compared to the fucking Egyptian ones, this was a goddamn masterpiece. Well, anyway, this is Trials of Apollo, which is a slightly different take on his Greek and Roman gods. So I like that series. It's going to be fun. That's going five. And then I'm curious to see what he's doing with them next. My brother had told me that Riordan's doing a Rick Riordan Presents, where it's he's getting other authors to do, like, Persian gods, and he's getting other authors to do, I think it's going to be Chinese gods or maybe Hindu, which I said, I don't know. I mean, with Patterson, you know, the same thing where he's franchising. But in this case, my brother made a valid point, which is that, you know, he's not part of those cultures, so it wouldn't be respectful necessarily. You know, I'm of two minds of that, but I would like to see another author's take on it. I'm cool if he's all right with it. I mean, he doesn't feel comfortable stepping into that world and letting someone else do it. I guess that's the whole point. You know, he's making room at the table for someone else. Good for him. You got The Mars Room coming out by Rachel Kushner. Mars Room just basically feels like it's going to be very Orange is the New Black, but without the actual book. So I'm for it. Seems like it could be fun. I didn't read Flamethrowers, but which is her previous novel, though. How could I pass up a novel called Flamethrowers? So I might throw that on the to-be-read list, as it's ever growing. Chuck Palahniuk has a new book out. They said it's his first novel in 4 years. I guess that's true, and I think his last two before that were I think it was the Damned series, and I don't really care for those. I didn't read his newest set of short stories, though I wish I had. I mean, Palahniuk, I don't know where to start from him. He was a huge influence on me earlier in my life, and then I just sort of faded with his novels. I wasn't as big as or as enamored by them, but this one sounds like he's back in his wheelhouse, and it's got potential to be really good. I think the last time I was excited about a Palahniuk novel was Rage, and he did not disappoint, so I'm kind of hoping it's going to be along those lines. I mean, if he could hit his old days and his old stuff, I'm all for it. I don't know. I mean, like, again, I don't want to complain about him. I mean, he could do what he wants to do. But for me, Chuck Palahniuk was like Kevin Smith, where I was less juiced about his newer shit that he was doing and more excited about his old stuff. And I kind of feel the same way about Palahniuk. But his old stuff was so influential and so good on me, it feels bad to shit on him and to say negative things. So I don't really want to. It's just, I'm going to be hopeful and excited and hope this new one's going to be really good. I think it is going to be, so I'm pretty stoked. And then the other one is coming out May 3rd, maybe. I don't know with Patterson. It's so hard to fucking figure out. But this one's apparently one of the new Private Princess. I have no idea which private agency it is. I don't know if it's just a book shot, one of his cheaper ways to score off making novellas and making other people read his shit. I got no fucking idea. But I'm going to get it, and I'm going to read it, because I'm an asshole, and that's what I do. All right, so that is going to do it for this week. It's probably be another slow week next week, just because I got a lot of shit going on in my personal life, as well as God of War. But, yeah, so I don't know if people are coming over and reading the listen to the podcast now. Apparently, according to Ms. Waz, they are going to be featuring me on Pajada Love this week, so that could be a double-edged sword, because I burnt a lot of bridges and stomped a lot of fucking toes, but, you know. Plus, this isn't exactly a super professional podcast, in case you haven't noticed. This is just me being incredibly lazy, because it's so much easier to just blather into a microphone and make a couple of edits on my little Audacity program than it is to actually sit down and write concise, thoughtful reviews. So, I prefer doing it this way. It's kind of fun, because, I mean, the stuff that I'm doing, it's so much easier to just kind of blather about it or make little quick snippets on the things, my thoughts on it, rather than full-on, full-fledged reviews. Because, I mean, some of the stuff I'm reading is 14, 16 books deep in a series, and some of them just shotgunning an entire series. And so, you know, if you want to really read in-depth reviews of each one, that's fine. I mean, you know, I'm glad the other people are doing that. I'm just sort of talking about what I've been reading. And, you know, so it's fun for me. All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for this week. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this, and I've cranking through and moving on. I think I'm almost caught up with where I'm supposed to be and on pace, so this is good. So I will see you next week. In the meanwhile, keep on reading.
Killing My Kindle's opening theme music is Netherworld Shanty by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. It's licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Killing My Kindle is part of the NeoZazz Podcast Network. Please listen to some of the other shows on the NeoZazz Podcast Network, as they are far more entertaining and competent than this will ever be.